All right, so today, this afternoon, I want to revisit our passage from this morning and pick up again on part of its theme. And you can see the title, The First Day of the Week. And here's our verse. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. So there's two things about this text. One is that it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And they are gathering, among other things, for communion, to break bread. And so I want to talk today about Resurrection Day, otherwise known as Sunday. I want to talk about the Christian tradition of Sunday worship. We worship the Lord Jesus because he proved everything he said by the resurrection. We don't hold Sunday by command, but we hold it by consensus. In the Old Testament, the Lord commanded Sabbath worship. But in the New Testament, the Lord made all things new. The law of the Old Testament came to an end in Christ, Paul says. Now, the law of the Old Testament reveals us things that are true, and things that are true about God, and things that we can apply to our own lives today, but it is no longer the law for us. And in the New Testament, we find no law as to when we should worship. We are called to worship. We're called to, and we have the example of worship in the book of Acts, but we have no command as to what day or how to conduct our worship services. And so I say it's not by command, but by consensus. Now this consensus is long. It seems to have come from day one of the Christian era. And I think I can show that from the Bible, and that's what we're going to try to do today. The consensus finds its root in the resurrection, and so we find our life right in the same event. So our first point today is how the first day of the week came about. Well, not obviously it's been since the beginning of time, but I mean worshiping on the first day of the week is what I mean by that. So I guess I should clarify my points. They make more they made sense to me when I wrote it down the first time, but as I read it just now, I thought, wait a minute, we've had the first day of the week before we had the New Testament, so. Anyhow, so here we are. So after the Sabbath, on the first day came the women to the tomb. So what we're going to do today is I'm basically going to read a good deal of the resurrection account. And so this is the first, when the Lord Jesus was in the, he went into the tomb on just before the Sabbath. There's some debate. Some people think there were two Sabbaths. It was a special Sabbath. And that he was... the crucifixion was on Thursday, and he was in the grave on Friday and Saturday, and then raised on Sunday. And others say, no, no, that's crazy. It was on Friday, and he was in the tomb on Saturday, and he was raised on Sunday. And it's the kind of debate that Bible believers have. They're all on the same team. They're all looking at the same material, and they're coming to somewhat different conclusions on certain things. It's not a really crucial issue, although I have seen people get quite agitated about it. Remember one young man in my freshman year in college took up a whole class period arguing with the teacher about which day it was. Ah, oh, wow, those were the days. All right, it did save us from hearing the rest of the lecture, but at least... All right, so here we are. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Now, this, each gospel writer is highlighting certain parts of the account. So here's two women married, but actually were more than two. Mark says this, very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? So there's several women together, and I think they're named somewhere. But here's Luke 24, verse 1 and 2. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. John says, cast away. You know, like it wasn't just rolled away, it was cast out of its track, several tons stone, landing out in front of the door of the tomb. In any case, that's a remarkable thing. But here they are on the first day. This is the thing to note. On the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, this is Sunday morning, early in the morning, they are coming because, of course, they watched Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea preparing the body, and they knew that those men well-meaning, but would not get it right. Right? And so the women came, and they were going to fix it. Of course, they were surprised, of course. I love this story. Every aspect of it. So the women stayed to investigate, but Mary runs to Peter and John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away. And that's where, John says, cast away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And so that prompts Peter and John, of course, to come. While the women who are at the tomb beheld an angel. Matthew 28 says, "Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it." And he goes on to say, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" And so this, remember, is the first day of the week. And then Luke 24, verses 4 through 9, "While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. As the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" Now recall that the angels, according to the Matthew passage, sent them to the disciples to give them the news. And on the way, they ran into someone. Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. There they will see me." And so he sends them on their way to meet Jesus. Now Peter and John are coming another way to investigate. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together. And the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, they saw the linen wrappings lying there. But he did not go in. So Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now Mary Magdalene followed, and she meets Jesus alone there at the tomb. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Now, of course, the disciples don't believe the woman. She, Mark 16, she, Mary Magdalene, went, reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. And who would? It was just a woman. She's obviously hysterical. Right? Luke 24, behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Now, I've cut out all the bit where they explained to him what was going on and how they say to him, some women said they saw him and so forth, and the tomb was empty, the stone is gone, but they're all crazy, we're leaving. That's my interpretation, my paraphrase of what they said. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And of course you know how that story turns out. They come to the place where they're going. They invite him in to have a meal with them. And as he takes the bread and blesses it, they recognize him. And they forget about supper and run back to Jerusalem. So, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, notice again the emphasis, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, Peace be with you. That always strikes me as funny also, because how would you react? And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples were saying to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now let's just stop for a second, and let's note this appearance. So every appearance we've talked about so far, the appearance to Mary Magdalene, to the other women, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to the crowd of the 10 in the upper room, so that's the 11 minus Thomas, and of course Judas is no longer in the picture, so the 10 in the upper room, that all occurs on the first day of the week. Now, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, Peace be with you. Now let's pause, 8 days now. Now, we've been working through all of this. Our focus has been on the story, but notice the day. Sunday, Resurrection Day, is day one. All right, so one, Sunday, two, Monday, three, what would it be? Tuesday, that's right. Four, Wednesday, five, Thursday, six, Friday, seven, Saturday, eight, Sunday. After the 8 days, they were again inside. It's again the first day of the week. Then he said to Thomas, Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. So what the point is, and the reason, this is how the first day of the week came about. He appeared to the disciples after his resurrection on Sunday, first day of the week. Now, apparently, he did not show up at all the rest of that week. The next time they saw him was the next Sunday for the benefit of Thomas. Now, Acts does tell us for many days in that 40, many occurrences in that 40 days, he met with them. But it would be after this first Sunday. And they went up to Galilee, and of course, there was this occasion in John, he records by the seaside, and there are other occasions. And then they come back to Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives, 10 days before Pentecost, and he ascends into heaven. All right, and so that's the record. But that's how the first day of the week came about. It became a day to mark. It became Resurrection Day. And then, what the churches did on the first day of the week? Well, we have our Acts 20 passage. And here we have this church meeting on the first day of the week. Now, it's the last day that Paul happened to be there on this occasion. I think he was 7 days in Troas. If we look back there, where are we? We stayed 7 days, verse 6. Came to Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. So they wanted to have a church service with Paul just before he went. It was worth it to them. They're going to have a communion service. They wanted him to speak. They knew it was very likely they would never hear him again. And so you just come and preach and tell us everything on your heart and the things that you've learned in the last few years and just fill us in. And he's going on and he's preaching. And you know the story as we looked at it this morning. So it's on the first day of the week. Now, there's one other reference in the New Testament on the first day of the week, and that's 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Now, this was written actually about 4 years before Acts 20 and verse 7. So, Paul is talking here about that offering. Remember the offering he's carrying in Acts 20? He's carrying this offering to Jerusalem. We talked about that last week. So again, this passage we looked at last week, but notice this. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper so that no collections be made when I come. All right? And so he is instructing them to put aside on the first day of every week. Why is he saying that? Well, because apparently the custom in Corinth was to worship on the first day of the week. Now, so far we have this. Resurrection is on the Sunday. And it appears that almost immediately the official weekly worship day for the church became the first day of the week. Now, when did that happen? The church was meeting in Jerusalem. They were mostly Jews. They were accustomed to the Sabbath day. Were they now keeping 2 days? We don't know. By the time the church gets into the Gentile areas, we see that here they are worshiping on the first day of the week. Not by commandment, but by consensus. And that's really the way the New Testament works. It's a spiritual relationship. We're in the spiritual form of the kingdom. We're not living by the law, but we are living for the glory of God, to please God and to do His will. And so by consensus, we have come as a church to worship on Sunday. Now there's one more aspect to this that I want to draw your attention to. What they came to call the first day of the week. And we find this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. As John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And as he worshipped on the Lord's Day, most likely a Sunday, he heard a voice. And as I've often thought about that passage, you know, John is the beloved disciple. He's the one who knew Jesus so well, one of his intimates. At the Last Supper, he was seated right next to the Lord. And he was the one that asked the Lord, Lord, who is it? Remember. And he was right near so that he could ask that privately in that group. He has a very close relationship to the Lord. And when he heard that voice, no doubt there was a familiarity to it, but no doubt also a change. Because as the passage says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And he goes on, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. John was worshiping him on Resurrection Day, the Lord's Day, because the church, by consensus, for now probably over 60 years, worshiped the Lord on Sunday. And that brings me to the proposition, which I haven't given you so far. The Lord's Day, Sunday, is our day of worship because our Lord gave us life on that day. And so, if you have faith in Him, you have eternal life. I hope you have faith in Him. You can, if you do not, you can have eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior from sin. He died, bearing your sins. He rose, offering you life on the first day of the week. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the grace of God which has come to us, which has saved us. We thank You for our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who has done everything for us. Lord, I pray that as we worship You now with our communion service, as we celebrate the fact that we are united with You and with one another, Lord, I pray that You would stir us up to greater service for You again this week and every week as we live out our lives a testimony to You in our community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.